Good evening. I call to order this meeting of the Gladstone City Council work session for Tuesday, September 26, 2023. It is about 5:35 p.m. Tammy, will you call the roll, please?
Councilor Huckabee.
Present.
Councilor Alexander.
Yes.
Councilor Reichel.
Present.
Councilor Cook.
Present.
Councilor Roberts.
Present.
Councillor Garlington.
Here.
Mayor Milch.
Present. Please stand for the flag salute.
Ready, begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The City of Gladstone is abiding by guidelines set forth in House Bill 2560, which requires the governing body of the public body, to the extent reasonably possible, to make all meetings accessible remotely through technological means and provide opportunity for members of the general public to remotely submit oral and written testimony during meetings, to the extent that in-person oral and written testimony is allowed. Therefore, this meeting will be open to the public both in person and virtually using the Zoom platform. The Zoom instructions are printed on the agenda. The public is welcome to attend work sessions in person or online. However, no public comment happens during a work session. So we just have one item on our agenda tonight, a presentation from Oregon City officials on their youth council. So staff, you may introduce this item.
Thank you, Mayor, and good evening, City Council. You have adopted a goal of exploring creating a youth council in Gladstone. And if you recall, back in April, we had representative from Happy Valley come with their youth council tonight. We have the pleasure of having the Oregon City Mayor and a commissioner come and talk about Oregon City's Youth Council, which I think is fairly recent. So we will have Mayor McGriff come up, and Commissioner Marl, you're welcome to come up and tell us about your program.
Yes, when you push that circle button at the bottom, it'll be on.
Well, we don't really have a presentation per se, so ask away. We'll do our best to answer your questions.
All right.
They have all the material.
Well, I can just open.
Sure, go ahead.
Okay, thanks. Well, thank you, Mayor Milch and Council. It's really nice to be here with all of you. My name is Adam Marl. I am one of the city commissioners, and I'm pleased to be here with Mayor Denise McGriff. When I was initially appointed to fill a vacancy on our city commission, it was a goal of mine to establish a youth advisory commission for Oregon City. You know, it was not complete by the time the remainder of my term was up, so I had to run. And I'm really pleased that we have it up and running. Right now, we're working on a huge opportunity. They are spearheading a mental health resource fair, which will be occurring on October 7th from 2 to 5 at our Pioneer Center. You all are invited to attend. We're hoping for a great turnout in support of our students. But for me, being a young person, it was important for me to express to people who are in my own age demographic the importance not only of being involved in their government, but more specifically of being involved in their local government. All of us are here because we know that local government is where we can have the most impact on the decisions that impact us in our own backyards, literally. So the importance of this, as our politics have become nationalized, is even higher, especially for our students. A lot of their parents don't even know what's going on in their own city hall. And so the importance of establishing a formal body, not only where students can learn about their local government, about their police department, about their public works, and what goes on in City Hall, but to actually initiate and execute activities that benefit the youth of the community is something that I felt really strongly about when I was writing this policy. I was on a plane to Washington, D.C. for a National League of Cities conference, and I had our city recorder print me a stack of pages from examples across the state. and across the country, and I did my reading, and I picked for myself what I thought would work best for Oregon City, and of course, this is what works for Oregon City, and I'm sure that you will find what works best for Gladstone as well, but I really do applaud your efforts on this, especially that it's a formal adopted goal of this council. That makes a big difference. When I came in the middle of a biennium, this was not an adopted goal. It's something I had to ram through myself, and I'm really grateful that the mayor has come on board since then and has helped a lot with planning our mental health fair. So just wanted to give a brief introduction, and you should have received the bylaws, the resolution, and like the mayor said, we didn't come here with any formal presentation, but are happy to talk to you more if you have questions about what it took to get this established and running.
Thank you, Commissioner Marl. I guess the question I have, Mayor McGriff, you come from a planning background, so you know that number one planning goal for our state is community engagement.
Citizen involvement.
Yeah, we've changed the name because we don't like to use citizen so much anymore, but because it has different meanings for folks. But yes, and this looks like an opportunity to involve a demographic of the community that may otherwise not be very involved. But you also mentioned specific projects, activities that they promote that help their own age group. And plus, you mentioned a very strong educational function, just becoming more informed. So it sounds to me like you're covering really all three of the aspects that that I would want an advisory board like this to be. To what extent does this board get involved in your discussions of issues that are not so much youth related, but just sort of broadly community related?
They really haven't yet. So let me back up and talk about a little bit, Bill Bourne. So by the way, it's Denise with a Y for everybody, because it's not Denise with an I. Part of what I think you probably already know, and Adam mentioned, is that a lot of times their parents don't even really know what's going on. So one of the things that unless they are a student who is actively involved with their parents, and there are maybe a half a dozen that I know in the community that are, and so they do know what's going on. We had to start from scratch, basically saying, this is what city government is. These are the departments. So we took them on a tour of our municipal court and police facility, the Libke Center. They have heard presentations from Public Works. We've introduced them to the basic format of, okay, member from history, federal government, state government, local councils of government, if the state or city has them and the community has them, and then your local government. So we've kind of outlined kind of the different levels of government, and some of them remembered from their government and civics classes, if that's what they still call them these days in government. And then we kind of started talking to them about the different functions that the city does. And Matt came in already. I believe Matt came in when you were absent and talked about finance and kind of what that he's our finance director. So we've been trying to educate them about what a city does. And I think one of the things that I've heard back on the feedback when they went to the police department was they all had some preconceived notions about policing or what police do or what police don't do, you know, probably from media and other things. And they were really pleasantly surprised about the direction that our police department is taking and what their goals are and what they, you know, their whole, I mean, if I was to narrow it down to one word for Oregon City Police, it's about community. And they really emphasize that a lot. So that's kind of the baseline. And we're still working through some of the different departments. So we still have some to go. But the other thing we asked them was, you know, what were the concerns that they had? And, you know, I mean, I've got pages in my notebook of, you know, things that they wrote, you know, that they talked about, that they, you know, worked or wanted to know about. One of the things that they had a concern about was curriculum. Now, that's not something that we as a city can tackle, but we know people. So they were concerned about the curriculum eliminating sort of kind of civics, social studies. And they had heard a rumor that that was going to be eliminated in the middle school. And they thought, well, that was just wrong. So we did some checking to see with if that was the case. And I was assured, we were assured by the superintendent that no, that was not happening and that they were still having that, you know, those courses. So they kind of backed off that project, although they're still a little bit interested in it. So in just talking about the things that they deal with all the time, we spent, you know, a number of meetings early on just talking about kind of what they were doing and what their involvement was, you know, what were they doing in their school? And, you know, of course, there was a fair amount of, well, we wish we could change this and we wish we could change that. And, you know, probably the biggest thing for me personally is that until I was out of high school, I didn't call anybody by their first name. And now apparently they do at school, which is still a little difficult. So they're talking about Roger somebody and I'm saying, who are you talking about? Oh, that's the teacher. Okay, so let me know when you're talking about a teacher so that I don't think it's just some student or somebody, you know. So you're talking about the person that's giving you instruction. So that's one thing. That's going to take me a long time to get used to that. I have a couple of friends from that were my teachers that I still have a hard time calling them by their first name. You know, it's just how we were raised. So I think the thing that you've asked about is I think that's a step that we both are interested in having them take. And I think for this next year, because we've pretty much got the same students this year. So we started a little bit late in getting them recruited, but we want to keep as many of them as we can. But this project on mental health, they said that was probably the number one issue that they were, you know, that they find that they're facing their peers. So this mental health fair that we're putting on, we're bringing in some practitioners in a broad range of fields. I mean, it goes all the way from Oregon City Together that deals with drugs, all the way to the Mary Rose Foundation that deals with eating disorders and everybody in between. And some practitioners that deal with, neurotherapies. We have some therapy dogs coming, at least two that are going to come. So we're hoping that will be, and then dealing with yoga and wellness, diet and nutrition and wellness, and how that plays a big role in your whole outlook. So, you know, if you eat, you know, Pringles all the time, that's a problem, at least with diet. Maybe they don't think so, but, you know, you're laughing. I just picked something out of the air. So that's the type of thing that we're interested in having them work on. We did have them participate in our Juneteenth celebration that we had in June, and we had a couple of students do some readings, and we hope to have them really engaged in this event that they're putting on. So the chair is going to do an opening with Adam, and then we're going to have some of them be greeters, some of them are going to be roamers, some of them are going to watch the food table, you know, just different roles that they all can take. And I'm going to kind of be in the background troubleshooting. So if there's anything that, you know, something happens, somebody spills something, so we're going to kind of let them take charge.
Well, it sounds like you're getting them opportunities for a balance of activities and ways of being involved. And I appreciate that you started with that education. We have, occasionally we'll have high school youth come to our meetings, and sometimes even children, if it's a particular issue that affects them. We'll see that kind of thing. But for them to kind of come as a group and speak as a group and represent their age group and their interests is something we haven't seen that much of. So this is helpful like to us to hear your approach to this.
Yeah. I think you need to get them grounded, you know, unless they're already, I can think of one student that I know he's involved with his parents and everything. He's now a freshman, so he's able to apply. He was, when we started this, he was only an eighth grader. He goes, well, I want to be on it. And I said, got to wait one more year. You've got a lot of experience. And he was one of our students on our diversity, equity, inclusion as a 14-year-old. So that's somebody, you know, that I suspect he'll run for office someday. And then we've got one student, Miles, who already says he's going to run for office. So we'll see where that goes. But I think you're right. The next step, I think, would be in talking about some of the issues that we are facing and giving them some background and information about the particular issue and ask them if they have input, you know, from their perspective. Most of them, I believe, except for a couple, drive. So they're, you know, out and about in the community. Others, you know, are still, you know, have mom and dad taking them around, that's fine, you know. So I think your idea is something that we had already kind of thought about. But again, they need that base and they need that grounding.
Right.
To throw them into something like that at the get-go really is kind of doing them a disservice when they don't really know how the government works exactly. I mean, I think they have an idea.
Yeah.
But I will say one of the things that has been, we've been looking at different ways of communicating. So we have all of their email addresses. They don't actually respond to that too much. So we're doing texting. I think they've been a little bit lax about attendance, and we have some very specific attendance requirements in here. If they miss, they're supposed to come to a city commission meeting. We haven't really put the hammer down on that. We're just trying to get them accustomed to being in a setting where they are being held accountable. So they did have to take an oath of office because they are an official body. So we remind them of that you did take an oath of office. So if you're not going to be able to come to a meeting, you need to let us know, because we don't know.
The other part of that enforcement on attendance has been lax because through the summer, it was not initially going to go through the summer, but they decided as a body that they wanted to do that. Yeah. And so since they wanted to go above and beyond what was required, it was something where, people are on vacation. Sure. To your question, Mayor, about ways that we can get them involved beyond just youth specific things. This isn't specifically related to the Youth Advisory Commission itself, but one thing we have a city have been doing recently is partnering with our schools. They have one of the middle schools in Oregon City has started a yearly project where they talk about vacant lands in Oregon City and what they would like to see there. So when it comes to development in Oregon City, that's something that we've already been working on, not with our Youth Advisory Commission, but something with our students in our middle schools already, and that I am sure will be down the pipe once we get them more established, as the mayor talked about.
Very interesting.
Nevada's done it twice now. They picked a particular property at 12th and Main that they looked at, and then they picked the old Rossman's landfill. So I'll be interested in talking to the teacher that's spearheading this to see what, I might even suggest a property for him to take a look at, because we've got some properties that we're interested in redeveloping, and I think picking one of those might be very helpful to us. So the first year they did it, the teacher didn't think about, I wanted them to make a presentation to us because I thought the ideas were worthy of that. Just couldn't fit it in. So the next year on the landfill, we did have three student groups come in and present. And so this was, terrifying to them because we had them come up, sit at the table and talk about what they were going. And some of them brought their PowerPoints. So again,
at the same time as a public hearing for others in the community to express views on the same issue? Yes. So
we had them do a presentation at the top of the meeting. So
very good.
School night. Yeah. So we didn't want to keep them. So they came in and did a presentation, and I think there was a lot of interest. I thought that the Oregon City News picked it up and did a story on it, which was great. So that's the kind of thing that, not necessarily the Youth Advisory Commission might do, but it's another connection, as Adam said. And I would like to see Gardner, get in on the bandwagon and do this. But, again, you've got to have the teacher that's interested in doing that as part of the curriculum. So
let me put it to other counselors. Do you have questions or things that you let's see. Oh, Veronica has her hand up on the screen. Counselor Reichel, go ahead.
Sorry you're not here tonight.
I am sorry that I am not there either. My question is pretty simple. I'm just curious about kind of the age range of your council members and
commission.
How young are they getting? Yes, the commission. How are they getting? How young are they starting? And are they going? Do they represent all of the school levels, or are we kind of mostly high school? How does that work?
Thank you, Counselor. Mm-hmm. So they must be a high school age when they are sworn in. When we were doing our initial outreach, we were targeting eighth graders who would soon be applying. But since we were in the middle of the year when we started doing that, we focused mainly on students who were high school age at the time. And so one thing that was important to me was that it wasn't just Oregon City High School, though. We have a charter school in Oregon City. We have a private school in Oregon City. We have homeschool students in Oregon City. And so when we did our outreach, it was important to me that we didn't just do it through the school district, but that we were reaching other high school age students in Oregon City. They just had to be high school age.
Right. So the one thing that we do have that is a bit of a restriction is that they actually have to live in Oregon City. And as you know, Oregon City has a much broader mailing address than the city itself. So the school district goes out beyond Oregon City. And we did have a couple of people who lived in the Redland area who were interested. So that is technically, not in the city. We also had in here a specific limit on the number, but I tell you, we had 14 people apply and they were all amazing. So we just appointed them all. We had two seniors. So one of the seniors is going to help us with the mental health fair. And then we probably, that'll be, because he's going to be going to college here shortly, if he isn't in already. And then the other senior, she was going to be doing some things during the summer. So she was only on for the few months that we had, but it was still good to have her. She was going to, so we had Oxla and we have Case. And it was real important to both of us to get students from both of those. We had a student from North Clackamas Christian School. And we didn't get any homeschoolers, but we know that the information did go out to them. The school district was very helpful in helping facilitate that. So we're going to try again and see, you know, for the next round. And if any of them are wanting to stay on, we're going to welcome that as well.
All right. Other counselors?
One other. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Sorry,
go
Mayor. Ahead. Just to kind of piggy on that because of where that led us. Just curious. So if you had someone, say, for example, that's a sophomore, are they just able to stay voluntarily if they choose through the duration of school, or are new members chosen annually? How are you planning to handle that? Like, what's their term, their official term, I guess?
That's in here, but you can go ahead and answer.
Yeah,
that.
So yeah. The term is 1 year, and we're still figuring that out since we did start this in March of this year, and they went through the summer, and so we have to. We're having conversations now, actually, about what we want this reapplication process to look like. In the bylaws, it talks about a recommitment. I think after two terms, you know, at first, I believe they have the ability to just give a verbal, "I would like to do this again," but in order to establish an actual interest in wanting to continue, and in the interest of maybe making sure there are spots for other students that are interested, there is a reapplication, yeah, recommitment period as well.
Yeah, it says under section 262.02 under membership, under D, it says appointed youth advisory commission members may be appointed for a second term without an interview at the discretion of the mayor. The youth advisory commission member must participate in a recommitment interview with the mayor after serving two consecutive terms. So obviously there's opportunity here. If they want to stay on for the 4 years that they're in high school, they just need to, we just need to sit down and chat and kind of go from there.
Councilor Huckabee.
Thank you. I would like to have a little more detail on your initial application process, just kind of what that looked like, and then maybe lessons learned that you will be applying to the next reapplication process.
Well, it's online, and so they all applied online. There's an application for all of our boards and commissions, and then there's a checkbox for that particular one. Mm-hmm. They all did fine. They all, you know, filled it out and submitted it. A lot of them were quite detailed. I don't think we need to go back and do anything to revise it, because it was, you know, pretty simple to fill out for what they needed to submit. Mm-hmm. I did have a chance to talk to most of them. I didn't interview them per se, other than some of them I called up by phone and we had just had a chat. Mm-hmm. But we gave them an opportunity at their first meeting to sort of tell us about yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, some of them knew each other, others didn't. So this is another opportunity for them to meet other students. I know when I was a junior, I didn't really know very many freshmen. Mm-hmm. And when you get to be a senior, you don't really know anybody because you're too busy focused on your senior activities. But I think this is a good opportunity for them to sort of commingle. A couple of them, or how many of them were on the student council? At least three were,
yeah,
there.
Wow, that's great.
At least three.
One thing I will note about the application process is that it was deliberate to not include a GPA requirement. This was something, right, that I went back and forth on several times, but wanting this to be something different than student council, wanting this to be a different opportunity. Like the mayor said, there are student council students on it, but we wanted it to be something city related and not necessarily create a barrier in that aspect.
By saying you had to have this threshold, yeah, because I think it was what we were interested in was, were they interested?
Right. No, I applaud that decision. I think it's definitely a great decision. Was the initial meeting with your entire commission or just select few?
There was one person who was not available, mm-hmm, but we did sort of two sort of back-to-back orientation, mm-hmm, sessions. So okay, it worked out.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Our presentation from Happy Valley, they have a 3.5 GPA requirement. So each city chooses the way they do it. And you've given us reasons to consider, you know, which approach we should take. So we appreciate that. Councilor Alexander.
Yeah, I just was noting. So right here, adopting the creation was in November of 2022. And then I just think I heard you mention. So it went into full effect March. You had everybody picked. You've already had some meetings and it's going pretty.
City manager copy of our flyer that by January 31st, we asked them to submit. And I think one came in after that because they were not. They didn't get the application. They were like, I want to apply. And so we got it to through the school.
So you've been in full force. I mean, your whole group, all the people you picked, and you've been doing it since March of April, May. You've had that many
meetings. And then like
meetings.
Adam said, they decided to meet through the summer.
Okay, good.
It wasn't all of them, though. I mean, a lot of them have jobs and things, and there was family vacations. So the ones that were able to, so we did a lot of Zoom during the summer. Because they might have been at home and was easier.
Outstanding. Well, it sounds like an awesome program.
Decided to feed them.
Oh, well, there you go. That makes them show up.
Let me add that down.
So. No, that makes them show up. The only other question I have is on this. So you said October 7th between 2 and 5 at Pioneer where?
The Pioneer Community Center. It's at 5th and John Adams Street. So the library is at 624, and I believe it's 6.
If you were at the Metro Mixer event,
I was there. Yeah, okay. It's the same building.
Yeah,
okay.
Same building. Yeah.
And then, so that question I had there on the mental health fair, you're going to have people there, like you said. Are you going to offer resources to these? I mean, because that's the greatest thing you can do.
So
that's the biggest problem.
Tabling, so people can go to the particular table. If you want to talk to the people from the naturopathic college, you want to find out about nutrition, you'll be able to just pull your chair up and chat with them.
Okay.
The therapy dogs we're going to have in a separate room.
Okay.
And we're going to have a couple of gatekeepers because they don't want to have 25 people all swarming the dogs.
Right.
So we're going to put them over in a separate place so that people can come in and pet them and hug them and whatever. And
that was an issue that people were the mental health.
Yeah.
So the students were concerned about that.
Yes.
Okay, good. So they see that in the schools and they want to address it right.
Yes.
Now.
And they said it's not being adequately addressed.
Good, okay.
I don't even know what the situation anymore was. You know, I don't even know if they call them the school nurse anymore, but you know, you go down to the office if you're not feeling well or whatever. They do have counselors still at the school, but again, it's a lot. And I'm not sure whether they share them amongst the campuses or they have, you know, one just for the middle schools or they have one dedicated to the high school. But they all said that sometimes it's just a matter of having somebody to talk to.
Yeah.
So some of them have a favorite teacher that they've, you know, gone to. But, you know, they said that their peers that people don't want to talk. Part of some of what we heard, I will say that was a little discouraging to me. And, you know, there's always that teasing that goes on at high school and all that. But I think some of it has gone to a point. A couple of the girls mentioned about some of the harassment that they receive. And, you know, obviously it's not welcome. And, you know, I asked the dumb question. I said, well, did you, you know, have you reported it to, you know, an adult, a teacher or somebody that's in a position of doing something? And, you know, I kind of got the.
Mm-hmm. Well, outstanding program. I'm glad you guys followed up and implemented it. Good job. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Other members of the council have questions, comments?
Yeah.
Councilor Roberts.
One of the questions is I've been looking at a lot of different youth councils, commissions, advisory boards, whatever form they may take. One of the big differences I see is which direction the work flows as far as the workload taken on by the kids. In your city, and could you speak to it, what is the direction where the ideas come from all the way through implementation? If that makes sense.
That's a good question.
So we're very deliberate about wanting to make this a student-centered forum. One of the things I can remember from when I was in high school was being asked to participate in things to get student voices and then not actually being able to give my voice because the adults in the room were taking up all the airtime. And so one of the things that I wanted to be deliberate about was making sure that these were their ideas. Like was mentioned, or as was mentioned, there were a lot of concerns about school curriculum in the district. And it took a while for us to be able to communicate to them that the curriculum issue really isn't even in the school district's hand. It's in a lot of higher areas than even just our local school board. Once we were able to establish that grounding of where we have our jurisdiction as a city and where we can make positive changes in their community, that's where the idea of mental health resource fair came up. When it comes to the execution of it, this is an important part about what's been successful, is that we did end up creating a full FTE position dedicated not just to the students. It's called a community engagement specialist. They're dedicated not just to the students, but also to our neighborhood associations and our citizen involvement committee. And so we were actually able to take this policy and create it into something bigger, not just for students, but for all citizens, to make sure that there is a point of contact, a staff person who's actually paid to be there, that can follow through on the requests and the questions that the students have. And the mayor and I attend those meetings as the city liaisons to provide updates to our colleagues on the commission, but try to leave the staff work to the staff.
So we started out with a half-time position for that community engagement specialist, and it was not enough. It was too much to do all of these things. Plus, a lot of those meetings are in the evening. So the staff person would come in about midday and then, you know, go home at 9 and then would not be back in until, you know, the middle of the day. I mean, we give them some allowance for when there's night meetings, so they don't always have to be there right at the stroke of 8. But it wasn't working the way we thought, and she was doing a great job. It just was more than she thought. So we, on this particular resource fair, basically staff has done pretty much, you know, the heavy lifting in terms of contacting the people. Cause I'm sure, you know, you get one of them calling up, "Hi, I'm so-and-so from Oregon City High School." And they're like, you know, so you call up and say, "Hi, I'm the mayor of Oregon City, and I'd like you to participate in this thing for our students." And they're paying a little more attention. And then we used some of our contacts we have in the community. And you know, I said, "Well, what about this part?" You know, so they gave us broad topics. I said, "Well, who would you like to have come to this? What are things that you want to know about?" So we just started making lists. You know, we're making a list of all the things that they said. And I said, "Okay, well, let's see if we can match these up with people." First, they wanted, you know, therapy goats. And then they said, "What about a therapy llama?" You know, and then it kind of went to a different thing. And I said, "What about therapy dogs?" We could have the dogs in the senior center. And we originally wanted it outside, but October, the weather is a little iffy. Yeah. And finally, we just said, "Okay, it's going to be inside." You know, next time we want to do this, because May is basically mental health month, but then the weather's kind of iffy there too. So we were working with our library to get the space outside the library. And I just said, "You know, you're right." The library director said, "The weather's either going to be fantastic or it's not." And he said, "You don't want people out there with their tents and the rain." So we're having it indoors. And I think that'll just be better. Plus we have parking over there and other things. So they came up with all the list during the summer. And myself and our staff, we just got on the phone and started calling people to make connections. And then we went back to them and said, "Okay, we've got these people. Is that good? Is that good?" Just checking in with them, you know, because it was summertime. So we're not expecting them to, at least I'm not expecting them to add a ton to their own workload. I mean, these are all students. And even though we didn't put GPAs, basically these are people who have, you know, they're taking a full load of classes. And, you know, we appreciate the fact that they're taking their time out of their evening to do that. We've got, and it's interesting, the students range from one of the students has just been here from Texas for a few months. We have people in the group who, you know, born and raised in Oregon City. We have LGBTQ plus. We have language, you know, second language speakers, a nice cross section. So a lot more girls, of course. Or is it about half and half? I think it's about half and half, though, isn't it? I'm just thinking, yeah, I think there's not. There might be one more girl than there is boys. But it was good. Some of them, it's interesting. One of the students has started his own business when he was a freshman. And so, you know, he's got a job that he's created himself. And I'm just like, wow, okay. These are amazing students.
And in the execution, while we do have staff who have helped bear the brunt of that, we have found ways to keep them involved. One of them, who is on student council as well, does the daily announcements at the high school. And so we've asked her to incorporate those. We had a student who designed the poster. Yes. And so there are plenty of ways that we've been able to actually make sure that they feel that they're a part of not just thinking it, but executing this. And of course, they will also be there sort of running the show.
Yes. Yeah, we're gonna have some special T-shirts made so that they can. Not everybody else will have them. They will have them, so people will be able to identify who they are, and so looking forward to this project. And then I think what we're gonna do is probably as a 360, ask them, you know, how it worked, how, you know, and then I'd like them to come at some point in time to the city commission and just talk about their. How they felt about that particular project.
And that is part of the bylaw.
Yeah, part of the bylaws, mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Other counselors have questions or comments haven't been answered yet?
I've got another one. This one's a little bit more tricky, but in further research, one of the greater opposition points is forming a group, a consortium of younger adults who don't yet get to vote. One of the conflicts people arise is that's often called a special interest group by people who oppose this. And so I'm curious, have you come across any opposition to that? And if you have or haven't, what's your prescription for that?
We haven't had anybody object to this group. Have you heard anything? I haven't.
Not that I'm aware. The biggest objection I had to get over was that it was a priority. I had to convince the mayor.
We had other things we were doing, and I said I wanted to do it, but it didn't. It wasn't an emergency.
But so, youth involvement is a priority, and I'm glad that you have put this as a priority.
But externally,
as well.
No, we have not had any. I've not heard anything in the community. You know, we do, as you probably do on your home pages and stuff, you always get the people that they're going to make some snide remark about something. So I haven't asked our public affairs manager whether he's seen anything about the posting of the, we've had saved the date. We've got, then we did another follow up with that. Here's who some of the people will be coming. We didn't put their names. It's basically their organizations. And then we'll have a follow up for that. But I haven't heard anything internally. I've not heard anything other than we didn't have enough staff time for that job.
And if that were to be the case, my response would simply be that that's how we operate our Natural Resources Committee. That's how we operate our Planning Commission. These are all groups of people that care about their community, are honed in on a specific subject, and are here volunteering their time to give input to us.
So I think that that's what I would say if somebody says to you, oh, well, that's, you know, you're going to get, that's really stupid, you know.
Certainly. And that's an opinion I share. And I think you phrased it well there, Mr. Morrow. But I was just curious if that had been the case. So thank you for your time, both of you.
What do you think somebody might be objecting to?
The opposition, I spoke with it about someone who I can say is not a resident of Gladstone, but I was speaking about it and I was proud of this idea and just the general concept of it. And their opposition was specifically that these are people who do not have the ability to vote. So why should we listen to them?
Well, so you can say just like any other organization that you have in the city.
Right. I had a lot to say, and we went back and forth for quite a while. It was a very good discussion, and ultimately we were able to see points on both sides, but I was just, wanted to voice that and understand more.
I'm hoping that I'm hoping that they will see the value in understanding their community better, mm-hmm. and feel like they have a stake in what goes on if they have suggestions.
Absolutely.
Things. Or even if there's things that they might oppose, I think that that is a healthy way to have discourse. And, you know, they will be voters.
That was one of my greatest points, is as they may not be now, they will be.
But it's sort of, I mean, I wouldn't say I have an ulterior motive, but it is kind of teeing them up, mm-hmm. you know, for that. that civic engagement is important. And I've had to go over the last few 8 months of my term, I think I've gone to different groups and spoken about that particular thing three times about why civic engagement is important.
Yeah.
And why it's worth your time to be involved in something. And it's not when there's a crisis. That's when we, that's when we generally see people as, you know, this problem or that problem, but we don't get people that come to us or come with us who are doing something that's more on a positive note. And I don't say that, you know, negative comments are bad, because sometimes it brings to your attention something that you might not have been aware of. But when you get involved because it's a negative thing, that just sets you on a different platform as opposed to coming at it. And I said, okay, well, what's the problem we're trying to solve? And how can we look at this in a way that has a positive outcome instead of, you know, we're getting that all the time. And I tell that to people in neighborhood associations. The time to be involved in your neighborhood association is not when there's, you know, your ox is being gored, but it's now when there's not really anything going on. And you have a right to say what's going on in your neighborhood, other than, you know, waiting until the last public hearing before the city commission on a zone change application that, you know, we know that they should have been involved, but they didn't think about it, didn't know about it. And I'm sure you don't hear that ever. I didn't get the notice. I didn't hear anything about this, even though it's probably posted somewhere on the street or posted, you know, they got it in the mail. And I just tell my friends, you get mail from the city of Oregon City, at least open it. It might be something that you need to know about. Don't just, and it's, yeah, it's generally not a bill. It's when you get that postcard is that you want to be nervous about that. That's the postcard when we have to do legislative action that the state requires us to mail to everyone in the city and says, your property might be affected. That's when we start getting the phone calls.
And to your point about future voters, that was something when I was writing the mission statement, it reads in part, the Youth Advisory Commission shall be guided by the belief that local involvement at a young age is crucial to ensuring a well-informed and engaged citizenry in the future and to provide an opportunity for members to become equipped with the knowledge and leadership skills necessary to become active contributors in their community now and in the future. We talked a lot about how we can definitely see some members potentially running for office themselves. But the other important part is that this is also for to give students a look into what working in a municipal government looks like. This is something that we're being able to use to get students ready to go to college and actually respond to their emails. But it's also something for them to understand how things work, because they will be voters. Many of them have already pre-registered to vote at the DMV. So they're, once they turn 18, they're already gonna be registered themselves. So it's not just for now, but planning for the future, because whether you're a voting age now or you are not, it benefits us all to know that we have young people ready to inherit our communities who know what they're doing.
And then it's, you know, it tees them up if they go to college and they want to get involved in student government there. I mean, I don't know how many of you were, but, you know, I got involved in student government at my college, and it was interesting. And then when I was in graduate school, we had a the graduate students at the University of Oregon had a union, which was kind of interesting that I didn't know anything about. And you know, because I was a graduate student, I was a member, got involved in that. And then neighborhood association, and it just, you know, it kind of snowballs. So it's kind of just, you know, what you end up doing, because, you know, you at least can ask the question of how do I affect this change? And so I like to tell people, yes, one person can make a difference.
Thank you both for your insight.
Sarah, did you?
I do, but you go first.
Okay.
I want to circle back around about the logistics of the group. You have a public resource person.
Yes.
How much of that person's time do you think, on a percentage base, is spent on this, on the commission, on the, for the kids, on the advisory commission?
Well, we haven't filled the position yet that just became vacant. So our communications manager is trying to do all of this himself.
Okay.
Plus manage all of our communications. So we're trying to help him as much as we possibly can with this right now. So right now is probably not I'm not going to be able to give you a good judge of time.
Okay.
Because he's doing everything.
And obviously it changes given the fact that they're not just working through the month to month, but actually getting closer and closer to something that's happening.
Yes.
Okay. Budget. When you feed the kids, things like that cost. Do you have a set budget for the group that I missed in the paperwork, or are you just plucking it out of general fund?
Well, I believe it's coming out of general fund.
Okay.
I did have to ask the city manager. I said, okay, we don't have a specific line item budget. So if I'm going to pay some of the participants because they've asked for an honorarium of some sort, and I need money for the food and I need money for the advertising and the t-shirts and the posters. And he said, well, and I know this is going to sound odd, but he said, well, how much do you think you need? So I gave him the amount. And he said, okay, fine. So that was great.
Wow. What a great person to work with. I like it.
I told him I needed about $2,500.
Yeah.
And as this gets more established, this becomes a bigger part of our formal city
budget.
Yeah. Our formal city processes. I'm hoping that we can get this as a line item in the budget. This budget season around was a little hectic for us, and we were still at the moment of getting things started. And so heading into the next budget, that's something that I'm going to be looking at.
Yeah. And what do you think that would be? I mean, if you had to give me a ballpark on what you would ask for that specific group for, are you? A year or the school year, what would you think you might ask for?
So for the biennium, I think it would be fair. So for the 2-year budget cycle that we have, I think I would probably be looking at least 5,000.
Okay.
And that's obviously not including the staff time that's already dedicated to that as well.
I would have said a little higher. Not including the staff time, because their time is budgeted over these other groups as well.
Right.
So the time that they spend on the monthly meetings and getting the agendas and, you know, getting that out and doing all that, you know, I'm sure that's at least, because they meet once a month. So, you know, thinking, you know, 5 to 6 hours, plus if, you know, we're asking them to do a project every year, and depending on the scale of that project, we'll probably have to flex that budget just a little bit.
Okay. And then
they do eat a lot, I'll tell you.
They
that.
Do eat a lot. Those I know. We've got a teenager in our house sometimes. What do you feel like is your time commitment on a monthly basis?
Just for that?
Just since it's getting it started. I mean, one of the things that obviously everyone on this group has struggled with is your time commitment when you say yes. And there comes a time that you just kind of say, you know what? I have to say no, because I know that I just don't have enough time to actually be the person you want me to be. So what do you feel like is the time commitment to the council, to you individual, maybe? I'm not sure. I'm just wondering where that's at.
So the mayor and I are the two liaisons from the city commission. That's another thing that I felt was important, was that at every meeting there was a city commissioner who was there to demonstrate that the city does have a stake in the conversations that are occurring at these meetings. With that being said, there have been times when I've been absent, when Denise has been absent. So it's probably best to have an alternate. When we're both there, it's even better. But in terms of the time we dedicate apart from the meeting itself, obviously, leading up to this mental health fair, it's been a little bit higher. But in the day-to-day and the month-to-month, it's usually just our staff getting the agendas put together and getting the agenda organized. Yeah. So in terms of our engagement with it, time-wise, it's usually just a couple of hours that we attend the meeting physically.
I'd say probably 3 to 4 for me, depending on, you know, what's on our agenda for them. But, you know, getting the meeting itself,
right,
getting prepped for the meeting and then doing sort of the debrief afterwards with staff. So maybe 4 hours is the most I'd probably spend a month.
Okay.
As Adam said, getting this mental health fair, I spent probably the equivalent of 4 hours per day for 3 or 4 days calling people, because I found out that I sent emails that didn't respond to them, but they did when I called them. So I felt like I was doing that dialing for dollars thing.
Yeah.
He said, oh, I'm so glad you called, because, you know, I get a million emails a day. And I said, Perfect.
And this is why I'm calling.
Yes.
So that time commitment plus a 5-hour plane ride. So we'll figure that one out too. And I had one more question, and I think it got answered in that you are working with all the kids that applied.
Yes. Yeah. We appointed them. I appointed all of them.
Okay.
It would be 14.
15. It was.
Yeah. Yeah, well, and then Alex's. Yeah. So
originally. Yes. Yes. 15.
15. Yeah.
And that isn't overwhelming to you in any way?
No, because it said at least 9.
Okay.
So, and this is an area where I think the mayor had a change of opinions, because originally I had it at 9, and there were concerns that that may be too much. But as the mayor said, once we heard from these students, when we both sat down with them for interviews, it was just such an outstanding and bright group of students that she just ended up appointing them all. And then we went back and changed the code to accommodate for that.
Yeah,
I
just felt like I really couldn't turn anybody down. They were just all...
Yeah.
They all had brought different skill sets to the table, and I thought that was important.
Right. Oh, absolutely. Okay, great. Thank you so much. Thanks for coming too.
Commissioner Cook.
Yeah. So, you know, thinking about staff time is actually perfect. My timing. So thinking about staff time, you guys are kind of in this investment period where like you're just began the program. You're investing a lot of time into your, youth advisors, over time, how do you anticipate that changing? Do you see a future where they're building their own agendas and running their own meetings? Or do you anticipate that will always stay with staff? Where do you see that workload going?
Talk about the agenda for the next meeting at that meeting. So then staff creates the agenda. There's a chair and a vice chair, and they lead the meeting. We're still working with them on, you know, this is how you call the meeting to order, that sort of thing. We have a cheat sheet, but
yeah.
I will say we do have to do a lot of copying because they don't bring anything with them. They don't bring anything with them to write on. So we have pencil, we have pens, and we have paper there. And it was just like, I mean, I'm not used to that. It's just, again, that's me. I come, you know, here's my notepad, here's my pencil. I'm ready to take some notes. And so we have one of the students who's taking notes and, oh, I don't have anything to write, but we have a pad of paper.
Yeah.
So it's just, you know, it's just dealing with it differently. I'm assuming that they have tablets at school is what I believe they have. So they're not necessarily, but anyway, so yeah. It's important for, you know, to take notes and to keep track of who's saying what and they're making motions. So we're saying, okay, we move to approve having a mental health fair, second it, they vote, you know, that sort of thing. Because we have to keep an official record, but we don't do verbatim minutes for them, of course.
Yeah.
And the conversation's all over the place sometimes, but it's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Okay.
So.
And then my secondary question, I was looking at the ordinance, it kind of outlines that public meeting laws will apply. So I'm just curious, have you had any issues with like Jake has a birthday party and you have a quorum? Like, you know, do you have any issues arise around, you know, just the natural socialization that kids do? Or do they understand those rules and have they like internalized that? Or has it just not come up? And this is
probably not come up, but we did explain about the attendance.
Yeah.
That we have to have a quorum. And if you aren't able to come because you've got work or school or something, you need to let us know so that we have enough people to call the meeting to order that. Mm-hmm. So that's just getting them sort of on that track of understanding. And then, you know, making sure Bailey calls on everybody because some of them speak up and some of them don't, you know.
That's awesome. Very cool.
They're very chatty.
Well, and it sounds like with a variety of ages and different schools represented, that you're very unlikely for 8 of them somehow to find themselves in the same place discussing things that would be on the agenda of this. So that's a concern that a city council has, probably not so much in this, but I appreciate you calling them to those same standards of having minutes, of abiding by public meeting laws, because you're not saying, well, you know, they're just kids, we'll treat them this way. You're holding them to the same standards as all your advisory committees in the city are.
If they're at high school, they might have a quorum, you know, outside of that we don't know about.
Yeah.
But I think that the likelihood that they're discussing the Youth Advisory Commission to some degree, and they don't have any decision-making authority, they're advisory. So I would say that until it becomes a problem, I'm just going to conclude that it's not. I don't want to tell them, okay, well, see, so we have 14. So half of that would be seven, so eight. So like you say, if the eight of them are all in the same class at high school, you know.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad it hasn't come up.
All right. Well, we very much appreciate you coming to us and sharing your experience. You know, for a city that's just starting this, as Councilor Alexander asked, you know, you get the insights into what would you do differently? What have you learned from this? And we got a lot of that tonight. So that's very helpful for us, because as we move forward, now we've got a couple of different models to look at, and we might draw a little from here and a little from there and decide what works best for us. So we're grateful to you for being committed to this. Adam, yourself, and being supportive of it, Denise. So,
to it.
Yes. So,
I would not be putting on this mental health care.
So, you know, that's another good thing is for them to know that the city officials care enough to want to see this happen and to put it in place. So, we want to try to put that same message out to our community, I think. And as we discussed,
your library has a youth advisory group. So, ours does. And I want to see if there's some way we can cross-pollinate the Youth Advisory Commission with the kids that are on that group. And I haven't had a chance to meet with them yet, because I haven't asked our head librarian when they do meet so I could attend, just to see kind of what they do. But they've been very helpful to the library. And maybe there's, again, a way. We've asked them to see if they would like to be involved in this mental health fair. I know the library is going to do some sort of a display for us, involved, you know, with some books and resource things that they can have out. But I, you know, we were meeting the other day about Juneteenth already, even though Juneteenth is not till next year, we thought we better get a jump on it. So we want to involve our youth advisory group from the library in that programming as well. So I'm just trying to figure out how we make that, you know, how we make that happen.
Yeah, we've switched over to having a county library branch rather than a city library. So we no longer even have a city library advisory board. But as we move forward to getting our own new library here in Gladstone, there may be opportunities to involve youth in the library, or, you know, the existing city government and the schools. And maybe some cross-pollination between those groups would be something else that would be important to consider. So I appreciate you bringing that up. That's another important, you know, institution in the city that youth could be connected to.
And that youth are drawn to, too. As well.
Right.
So it's a natural magnet for them to be there. So.
All right.
So, Mayor, I just wanted to thank you for having us and Council for having us. Last year at the annual League of Oregon Cities conference, I presented a workshop on this project
with
David Imami from Happy Valley and Mayor Buck from Lake Oswego. And I'm glad to hear that you're hearing different models. And the benefit of having the three of us there was that we had a well-established model in Happy Valley, a growing model in Lake Oswego, and a just beginning to bloom model in Oregon City. And so I hope that our answers have been helpful in helping you guide the direction that this council goes. And we're really excited to follow that.
Yeah. All right.
And anything we can do to help, just let us know.
Thank you.
And maybe there's, once you get yours up and running, we can do something jointly together, which would be kind of.
Well, the folks from Happy Valley shared that there are conferences of these youth councils, you know, statewide and maybe even beyond that. And so it would be great if within a very short amount of time, you know, our youth and your youth get together somewhere, you know, whether it's a conference or just something local too.
Of the, you know, of the cities right around our area,
right.
You know, in Clackamas County, that might be kind of fun. I'll have to mention that to Councilor Imami. So
could very well be happy.
Thank you for having us. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Good to cross pollinate, you know, even though we're, thank you, Councilor Reacher. So we're across the river from each other, but we're just a stone throw.
All right.
Thank you.
Well, Council, we have, you know, on November 30th, we've scheduled our next meeting with the school board, our joint meeting, and this might be an opportunity. That may be an item we want to add to the agenda of that meeting, is discussion of that. You've got that already on there. Okay, so because clearly they had a different experience in terms of youth wanting to be involved with specifically school-related issues, which are not so much city-related. And we'd want to make sure that we don't step on anybody's toes by getting started with this. So that's, you know, that's one step I think we could take. Jackie, did you have any other suggestions for where we proceed from here? We've been informed. And this is not a decision-making time tonight, but.
No, so I think what the next step is, I think it's at the November work session. We're going to have a kind of what's the next steps for Gladstone's Youth Advisory Council. And I'm also going to be bringing you information from some other cities, but not necessarily have them here present.
Okay.
But this was very helpful tonight. Thank you, because all of my questions got answered by all of you there. So I appreciate that very much.
All right. Well, I don't think there's anything else. Councilor Roberts,
want to thank you for the work you're putting in on this, Jackie. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Future city managers.
Yeah. Well, that's something you don't consider. You know, you want them to be involved citizens. You want them to be involved in the democratic process. But we've discovered, on career day, when I went to the elementary school and talked to even elementary age students about all the various things that city workers do, police and fire and public works, you're stirring up some interest in people thinking, hey, maybe I can make a difference working right in my own city. So yes. That's good to plant those seeds early on. All right. Nothing else for tonight. Then we are adjourned at 6:35 p.m.